CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Simon Constable in Edinburgh about the price of gold. And gold in these troubled times, the worst bear markets since Richard Nixon was in the White House, gold has looked like a haven. Simon, however, publishing at Barron's and the Wall Street Journal and Forbes and other distinguished publications, is observing the gold market while at the same time, next door, the crypto market collapses. Simon, a very good evening to you. Now, the metals traders are fundamentally part of our economy and have been for several hundred years. Crypto is new, but you're observing how the gold prices have held up while crypto has collapsed. What does this tell us about crypto? What does it tell us about the metals? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Yeah, this was very interesting. I looked at how various asset classes had performed in the year through June the 14th. I did this for Barron's, and I picked sort of the basic ones. So there were stocks, bonds, crypto, gold. Gold went down a bit. First bit of the year went down 1.4%. Crypto was the other end of the scale. It lost more than half of its value. And this was something we were told would not happen because crypto was the new gold. It was going to be the safe haven because no one could interfere with it. And you had the blockchain technology, and it was going to be the safe haven where everyone would go in times of crisis. It turns out that if this is a financial crisis, and it sort of is a market sort of worry, I wouldn't say it was a crisis, but anyways, a lot of worry in the market. It did very, very badly. It was the worst performing of the major assets. So stocks, the S&P went down more than 20%. And NASDAQ, which is the tech heavy thing, went down more than 31%. A lot of people had said crypto will follow tech stocks, but it did even worse than tech stocks. Some tech stocks have dividends. Crypto doesn't. So this has been amazing. Gold has done what it has done for the last 5,000 years. It is the go-to monetary asset when everything else looks a little bit shaky. I don't know how long this lasts, but if you had some gold, you had a better ride in this market than if you had none.
God bless the metals. We go to other commodities, however, because commodities have been the story that Simon's helped me understand for the last year. As we've seen, the soft commodities, that's food, and the hard commodities, the metals, and then the energy commodities in between. Right now, we're seeing what looks to be a settling down of the price spikes in commodities. I note that wheat is under $10 a bushel. Do you see this in other commodities, Simon?
Oh, absolutely, we do. One of the amazing things is copper, which is a key part of the industrial process for a lot of things, including making cars and light trucks and big trucks even. That is the lowest in more than a year now. It's $3.90 a pound. It had gone up to, you know, almost $5 within the last year, and it's just coming off. Even though there are strikes in Chile, which is a very important producer of copper. So that's down, and that's a key industrial material. Steel isn't doing very well either. And I'm looking here. It's way down from last September, around about maybe a quarter of the price it's been cut by. It's all here in renminbi, which is the Chinese thing because the Chinese produce the most steel in the world. So it's the reference price. But that's down quite a lot. And definitely it's off the peaks of early May, considerably down from there. And then we got Brent crude, which is the European benchmark and a benchmark for a lot of other things. It was over $120 a couple of times, certainly in early March, and then again $7 a barrel, which is a lot of money. But if it's coming down, then it's not inflationary. It's it's disinflation. So this while this is a high level and it will leave gasoline and diesel fuel prices elevated, they will not be going up if this continues. And yes, there may be some volatility, but if we can get it down to 100 and it stays there, that would actually seem quite reasonable compared to what we've had over the last few weeks.
What the cooling off suggests, Simon, globally, is that not recessionary, but a backing off of demand. Perhaps it's the supply chain, perhaps it's that people are now spending less or committing less to the immediate future. you're keen on copper, and so am I, because that would be where you would expect a spike for demand if there's building and if there's copper backing off. Not so. The commodity picture is moderating, but we have to concentrate on energy because that's the unknown. You're paying very high prices in Europe for energy, and that translates into high prices for electricity. Do you see any moderation in your electricity bills in residences in Edinburgh?
Well, the electricity bills don't come out to us that often, but I have some figures here which indicate that the increases are moderating. It's still going up. So we're seeing it's gone up a lot over the last year, and the increases are now pretty much, you know, minimal at a time. I expect that they will start to go up hugely in the autumn. That's the fall, and then in the winter when we need to heat homes, and that will be a pretty horrible period. One of the things I will say, going back to the supply thing, is that the sanctions from the very beginning, I said, wouldn't work because things like commodities leak out onto the global market, and there will be just as much supply as there was before the sanctions. It will just be taking different routes to get to the buyers, and eventually that will help prices moderate. And that's a very important thing to note. The sanctions will, you know, they send a message, but that's just about all that they do.
The daily life in Britain, however, is expensive and disrupted by the cost of living. In addition, you have a rail strike, at least you do in the south of Britain. Is the rail strike also on in Scotland? And is this disrupting life in any fashion, contributing to the chaos?
Okay, so I'd love to be able to say, well, you know, the rails are on strike in Scotland, but how can you tell? Because there's no difference. They are on strike in Scotland, and yes, you will be able to tell the difference. So unlike in North America, people use the trains a lot. They use it to commute to work in a big way, just like people do in New York, but not in many other places in the US. They use it for a day trip, you know, go over from Edinburgh to Glasgow or Glasgow to Edinburgh just for the day, go to see a football match or whatever it is, go to the theater, jump on the train, come back. So that will be disrupting life, and it will also be disrupting people doing important bits of commerce. So not only is it passenger trains that we've got here, we've also got goods trains too. And all of that will be in some form of disarray. This reminds me of back in the 70s and early 80s, and Margaret Thatcher managed to stop it. I think this will be the summer of discontent, not the winter of discontent, and it's not good. It'll be across the whole UK. Not looking forward to it getting any worse.
Yes, I'm looking at notices out of London right now, and it's surprising to read this line. The last services from London to Scotland will leave in the early afternoon on Thursday and Saturday. Simon, this is almost a throwback 150 years, the last train to Scotland. It would be less important if the aircraft were also flying, but I saw a photograph at, I believe, the Gatwick Airport outside of London, where all the seats were occupied by luggage that either had been left behind or sent ahead. And the general advice was, your plane's probably canceled, don't bother coming to Gatwick. This has to do with routes and regulation and demand. Are you seeing the same thing at the Edinburgh and Scottish airports, a complete inability to get out of Scotland?
I have not seen that. It may be happening, but I have not seen that, and I have not heard reports of that. Edinburgh is a relatively small airport. It is an international one, but that's not hard in Europe because there are lots of little countries around, but Edinburgh's airport is generally fairly efficient. I haven't heard any bad news coming out of there. It does not surprise me that Gatwick and probably the other airports around London will be having some major problems. The busiest air route in the world is across the Atlantic between New York and London. And this, you know, any staff shortages, any little hiccups get multiplied out of all proportion because of the, you know, it's just a little trip up and then somebody else trips up and then everything starts to stack up. So there are labor shortages for these airlines and these air carriers. And that's been, you know, a bit of a problem for everyone operating out of London. I hope that doesn't spread. We need to get that back. Europe is a big tourist destination for Americans, and we need those dollars. So, you know, we need to get them fixed so that Americans can come spend their money.
Simon Constable reporting for Barron's on gold holding up. Again, Simon, it's always good to make the metals people smile when I say that. Gold holding up in the face of the worst bear market start for a calendar year since Richard Nixon was in the White House, and Richard Nixon's time in the White House ended with 50 years ago, Watergate. We can hope that these days do not end with a similar disruption. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.